I want to talk to you about dirty jobs this morning. Nobody likes to do them. And I started looking up what are some of the dirty jobs you can have in life. And one of them I found, there's actually a list that people compile of jobs that nobody wants to do that are maybe dirty. One of them are the guys who make biodegradable flower pots. You know why that's a dirty job? Because their main ingredient is poo, or whatever the word you want to use, as long as it's nice. Can you imagine spending 8 hours a day working in manure? That doesn't sound good. Another one I found was quite interesting is an owl vomit collector. And I was like, why would you collect owl vomit? And they say it's because owls swallow their food whole, so these pellets are comprised of bones and hair. And I thought, that just doesn't sound very good. An owl vomit collector. For me personally, it was being a kid working for my dad at the ice cream store in Denison, Texas. And back in the old days, they used to have these 5-gallon metal cans. And what they would do is they would put a paper lining, they'd put a paper bottom in, and then they would put a paper lining in, and then they would put the fresh ice cream in it all the way to the top. That's the good part. The bad part is when they finished dipping, they would put that 5-gallon can with the paper liner and with the ice cream back in this room, which was called the washroom. And my dad didn't play favorites, and so everybody got to go and be a part of working in the washroom. And I can remember going back there, and I don't know if you know much about ice cream, but it is nasty, especially when it's been there a couple days and it's soured and it's sticky and it's greasy. And I can remember my dad taking me in there, and there was a big vat that you were supposed to put scalding soapy water in, and then there was another vat that was just cold, fresh water. And then on the very end, there was this contraption. It was a steamer. And you'd set the metal can on top of the little pipe, and you'd pull it, and it would shoot steam up in there and, I guess, sterilize it. Today, they probably wouldn't let that go. But I remember spending hours in that room, and it was a dirty job. It was a nasty job. This morning, Jesus is going to talk to us about dirty jobs. And just like the kids, we don't necessarily want to do dirty jobs. But in John chapter 13, beginning with verse 1, you find an incredible story about Jesus. He's about to be crucified. He's about to leave his disciples. He's invested 3+ years into these guys, this group of 12. And it's at the end of the time. I mean, he's literally fixing to be tortured and crucified. And so he's spending a meal with them. And he's going to do a very valuable thing as he spends time with his disciples. Let's look beginning with verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, and you might underline this, it's underlined in my Bible, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water in the basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, you are not going to wash my feet." Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, have no part with me." Then Lord Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. In other words, give me a bath. Jesus answered, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not every one was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And then verse 17. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Well, dirty jobs. There's several things we can learn in this passage, very practical passage, that are so vitally important for us as Christians. You see, Jesus has called every single one of us to do dirty jobs. Not to be church people, but to be servants, to be His servants. And Jesus knew that His time was short. He's fixing to be executed. And He knew He only had a limited time to spend with His disciples. So He decided to teach them a lesson. Now, what should have happened is they should have already washed the feet. And we'll get into that later. But the thing I want you to see about these two verses are a contrast between God's love and the hate of Satan. Verse 1 says, Jesus wanted to show the full extent of His love. Verse 2 says, He already knew that Satan had tempted Satan to, Judas to betray Him. But what I love is in this story, we are told that Jesus wanted to show the full extent of His love to His disciples. He's about to be gone. He is about to literally be yanked from them, and He was going to be crucified. So He decided to show them His love. And what should motivate our love for other people? What should motivate us is love. Jesus was motivated to serve His disciples because He loved them. He knew that His time was limited, so the way He wanted to love them was by showing them through an act called the washing of feet. Now, too many times we're motivated by the wrong things to do things in church. And as I was thinking about that, sometimes nobody wants the dirty job. Sometimes nobody wants to work in the kitchen on Wednesday nights after week. Sometimes people don't want to volunteer in the nursery and work because it's not fun, or it should be. But I started thinking about it. Every single job that you can do in this church should always be motivated by love. If we stick you in the nursery, or you volunteer to go in the nursery, or if you work with children in the nursery, or if you work with teenagers, or if you work with adults, or you sing in the choir, you always should be motivated not by duty, but by love. When you love Jesus Christ and when you love God, you'll get the message that the way we show our love to others is by serving them. Now, I want you to think for just a second. What are you doing in this church? And are you doing it out of love? What motivates you? What is it that really gets you going? Why do you volunteer? Duty, because you've done it for 30 years. You see, the danger of any job is with time you forget why you do it. Every job, everything in this church always should be motivated about love. If not, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. You know, we're hoping to take a mission trip the end of June through July 6th. And we have, for 20 years, have taken people to the Dominican Republic. And if you choose to go, you will learn that over and over again as we get ready to go, I'll say, it's not about you. When we get down there, I don't care about your needs. I don't care what you want. I don't care. When you get down there, there's only one thing we care about. That's serving the people in the Dominican Republic. And then I will also say the reason you do that is because you love Jesus Christ. And the thing that is amazing, when you start serving people because you love the Lord and you love other people, which were the two great commandments, when you start doing that, it's a joy. When your job becomes drudgery in the church, it's because you've forgotten why you do it. And so the thing that should motivate us to pass out bulletins, to clean up on Wednesday nights, to teach a Sunday school class, to sing in the choir, the thing that should motivate you should be your love for Jesus Christ. And the way that you show your love for Jesus in the body of Christ is through serving other people. So Jesus showed them the full extent of His love. He served His own disciples. And I think that's so good because you think about it, the last thing they're going to remember about Jesus, one of the last things, is Him washing their feet. Because leaders don't do that in their world. They were going to remember Jesus washing their nasty, dirty feet. They didn't want Him to do that. So be motivated by God's love to serve one another. There's a second thing. Personal security allows us to serve. You got to understand, only secure people serve other people. Insecure people want people to serve them. I'm convinced that a lot of people that are at the top are self-centered and ambitious and only care about themselves. And they do that because they're very insecure and they think, well, if I've got people caring about me, I'm more important than other people. That's just not the way Jesus taught it. I love what it says in verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power and that He had come from God and was returning to God. I believe one of the reasons Jesus was able to take a servant's job, the reason the Master was able to do what He did, was because He knew who He was. He knew where He came from. He knew where He was going. He knew who He was. Servants don't care what you think. They're secure in who they are. And because they're secure in who they are, they can serve you without worrying about whether it's an important job or not an important job. You know, I'm just always amazed how insecure people want people to serve them, and secure people could care less about anything but doing what they're supposed to do. You see, when you're secure in who you are in Jesus Christ, you'll wash feet. You'll pick up trash. You will do whatever it takes to serve others. You know, I'm going to brag on our deacons. They're not perfect, no. You could find something wrong with each one of them. I could find something wrong with you, and you could find something wrong with me, right? Let's just agree. But I'm going to tell you something. They have never tried to force me to do anything. I have been in a church before, went in, and the deacons, we had a good group, and we had this one guy who was so insecure, and it was about him being in control of things. And I just hated going to deacons' meetings because he was there. It was about, how are we going to run this church? What are we? You know, we all kind of run the church, but really the truth is deacons and your pastor are called to be servants. That's the highest leadership responsibility. So when we go into deacons' meeting, they don't come there and say, Pastor, you need to be doing... They help me. They serve with me. We plan. You know, we do things like that. That's what leadership is. And you can only do that when you're secure in yourself. When you know who you are in Christ, you don't care what other people think. You don't care about titles. I remember one day I came to church and we had a fire ant problem. I look out my front yard and Sam's out there killing the fire ants. I never asked Sam to kill the fire ants. You need to go back, by the way. I'm not doing a good job. They like what I feed them. Now, Sam's a deacon. He's been here for 100 years. But I look out there and he's killing fire ants. Didn't ask him that. You know why? He doesn't care what I think. He's just doing what needs to be done. There's fire ants. You kill fire ants, right? When you're secure in who you are in Christ, titles don't matter to you. Serving other people does. Jesus knew who he was. He wasn't even big. He was master. He was Lord. He was God in the flesh. But he was doing the dirty jobs. Why? He didn't care what other people thought. He knew who he was. Here's my question. Are you secure in who you are in Christ? That's so vitally important. Third thing. Servants do whatever it takes. It says, so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was around him. It's interesting that nobody realized the feet were dirty. You say, well, why is that so important? Because when you eat in that day, you eat reclining, and your feet were going to be in somebody's face. And in that day, your feet got dirty. You didn't take baths all the time. And so Jesus knew it was important. His group of 12 had not caught on to the fact that everybody had dirty feet. And you remember, they struggled. We talked about it last week. I want to be number one. I want to be a leader. They're all, you know, and I'm sure they're just looking around going, well, Thomas over there, he hadn't done anything in a while. You know, but none of those guys got it. So what did Jesus do? He just got up and started cleaning feet. You see, it's important to understand that servants do whatever. If we have dirty tables, don't form a stupid committee to clean them. Clean them yourself. Okay? I was in a church in a different state, and I'll never forget one of my sweet deacons. I loved him to death, but sometimes he didn't get it. He came to me and said, Pastor, there's trash on the church grounds. We need to form a committee. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? We just need to pick up the trash when we see it. Isn't that right? I mean, that's common sense. Do whatever it takes. Don't make a list up that you want to do. If we need trash, if we need the dishes washed after this meal today, just clean them. Help. Take out the... If a trash can's full, don't come tell me, unless you're a lady, but pick up the trash can and take it and put it out there. You see, servants do whatever it takes. Jesus washed their feet because there was dirty feet. Now, the thing I missed so many times was he even washed Judas' feet. Judas, the one who would betray him in the next couple of days. He was a part of that group that he washed. So here's what I'm going to say. Servants wash people's feet, not just church people's feet. Some of the dirty jobs you might need to do in this church may be to help someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ. Why? Because they need help. You're being like Jesus when you do that. And I just think it's incredible that Jesus would not only wash the good guys, he knew he was fixing to be betrayed by Judas, and he still washed his feet. You see, servants do whatever it takes. Servants don't care if it's on the schedule to do. They just do it. What about you? Does that describe your life as a Christian servant? Do you volunteer to do the dirty jobs in church or just the glory jobs in church? You see, servants do. I told you this 2 weeks ago, last week, and this week. This church will only be as great as the servants we have who serve the body and serve the community. We're going to have trunk or treat. I've never been to it. I think we're dressing up like something. I don't know. She's got plans for me. I mean, you say, well, I don't do that kind of thing.
Why not?
What if we had so much candy, and we do need candy. If you haven't brought it, it's over there. Servants do whatever it takes. We got to get a hold of that. So very important. Fourth thing. People misunderstand servants. People misunderstand serving. You see, Peter didn't get it, and there's a whole other spiritual lesson in there, and I don't have time to get into it. But Peter said, "Oh Lord, you can't wash my feet. Why? That's not what leaders do." And Jesus tried to explain to him, "Yes, that's what I do." But Peter didn't want it because he didn't want Jesus serving him. And here's what I'm going to say. When you serve people for Jesus and you serve them with the right spirit and the right heart, people don't understand it. Why are you helping me? Why are you doing this? Why? Why? When we go to the Dominican Republic, one of the things that has the biggest influence upon the people there, and you got to understand this, is a bunch of people from the United States, and they consider us wealthy, and we are compared to them, white people. And we do the dirty jobs. And they come by and think, a lot of Dominicans think, well, that's not a job I would even do. We would hire Haitians to do it. Why are you here? Why are you doing this? We're doing it because we love Jesus and we love you and we care about you. They have a hard time with that. It opens doors to share the gospel. We need to understand that not everybody in this community, when we start doing things that benefit the community for the love of Christ, it's going to confuse them because they see us, and rightfully so, sometimes as self-centered. All we care about is us. But when we start caring about them and get out of our comfort zone, they're going to go, "What are you doing? Churches don't do that." Our church needs to be thinking, what are ways we can serve our community in a way that won't benefit us but benefit them? And always be ready to share the gospel as we're serving them. For them to see that we're not like other churches. We go to the second mile. We don't ask for anything in return. We need to understand that. Fourth thing. I just don't have enough time. Teach servanthood by example. You see, in verses 12 through 15, basically Jesus is saying, "I'm your teacher and I'm your Lord," and that's true. But you need to do what I tell you to do because I also do it. Listen, there is nothing more difficult than for people to listen to someone who never serves, teach them about serving. The way you teach people to serve is you serve. Teach by example. You don't teach your kids about being a servant to other people by having a Bible study in your home. You do it by teaching your kids through serving people. It's your example. And Jesus was an example of what it meant to be a Christian. You serve other people. You do dirty jobs. You do the things nobody else wants to do. Do you lead by example? Or are you too good to get dirty? No one in this church should be too good to get dirty. Final thing. Serving others brings God's blessing. This is the part I don't want you to miss. We live in a self-centered world that thinks if I get more stuff and people pay more attention to me and people do nice things for me, my life is better. But look what Jesus said in verses 16 and 17. "I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things," look what he says, "you will be blessed if you do them." Serving other people brings God's blessings. Not getting served. I can't tell you the number of people. I had somebody tell me this morning, the highlight of this person's week was to serve someone else, and it made her feel better. Listen, serving other people, this is a promise. As you serve other people, as you get your eyes off you and on other people, and you serve them, God promises His blessing. Not money, blessing. And the reason so many Americans, quite honestly, aren't happy is they're not serving anybody. It's all about me. You take care of me. I'm important. But Christ followers say, it's not about me. It's about you. How can I help you? Now, that's deep. That's spiritual. That's the stuff that makes a difference. And I can say with complete confidence that this is true because Jesus showed us it was true. You can believe the Bible and say you do all that stuff, but if you're not serving someone, you're not reading all the pages. If you're not a blessing to someone else, you're missing the most important parts. Do the dirty jobs. Volunteer to do something that will help us reach this community. Get involved. Servanthood makes the difference.